Welcome in to the newest edition of the Just In Time Sports Podcast. I am your owner and host, Justin Jackson. And in this week's episode, we'll be discussing the NFL as we exit week three, entering week four. We will have our NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack. We will take a look at the WNBA playoffs, and we will have our best for last. Now, as always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the Just In Time Sports Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, don't forget to take a look at all Just In Time Sports social medias. Follow and turn on your post notifications for Just In Time Sports social media at JTime Sports on all of your favorite social medias, whether that be X, Facebook, Instagram, The Stunt, or Threads. We are on Just In Time Sports social media. We are there. We are where you want to be, and we provide updates, highlights, and more. Now, as always, don't forget to sit back and get ready to learn something.
JTS. Yeah. Just In Time Sports.
Life is good. Life is good.
Look. This is Just In Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart. He can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform. We growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts. We create the separation. Louisiana till I die is where I'm from. I can't replace it. So people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Wright or I'm Jason. ESPN better watch out, cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statements. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake. Look, if you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. Come and get it. He gon' tell it to you straight, to you straight.
Welcome into the show. We are coming to you kind of quickly from last week. So last week we recorded the show on a Friday. It came out Saturday. This week we're doing the audio show before the video show. It's a little bit out of norm, but we have some production issues, the video show. So we're going to give you the audio show a little early. By the time you guys hear this, it's going to be Wednesday morning. So happy Wednesday to you. Happy hump day to you. This is, again, your owner and host, Justin Jackson. This is the Just In Time Sports audio show on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow and turn on the post notifications on all the Just In Time Sports social media, so that way you can stay up to date when it's happening, as it's happening, with all your updates, breaking news. Again, on all your favorite social medias, we are there. I am there. So make sure that you definitely give that a follow. Again, this show is brought to you by IMS Productions. But we are jumping right into last week, NFL Week 3, the NFL, baby. Hello, Jaden Daniels. I mean, welcome to the show. He had an absolute masterclass. He's doing something that no one in the NFL ever has done. So just last night, he goes 91% completion percentage, the highest in a single game for a rookie of all time. He completes his second game back to back where his team never punts or turns the ball over. That is only the second that he's the second time that has happened in his young career. What sounds like, man, that's pretty amazing is the fact that, you know, he's had two of those games in his first three starts where his team has scored on every drive except for kneel downs. So they took kneel downs out. So, like, if you got 3 seconds on the clock, get the ball back, you take a knee, or you're up like they were then, you take a knee. They're not going to penalize you for that, right? They took that out. If you add up all the games of Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and Patrick Mahomes, 1,094 starts, all four of those, let's be honest, Mount Rushmore level quarterbacks have three total games like that in their careers. Jaden Daniels has two of those in his first three games. Now, week two, it was 7 field goals. In week three, he started throwing touchdowns. He ran, he threw two, ran in for one. They picked up a couple of field goals. The offense ran in for another. It was a masterclass of offense. If you told me, Jaden, if you was an alien on Earth, or you an alien and you showed up on Earth and you were dropped into the planet, you say, okay, look at these quarterbacks. You quickly explained football to him. He said, okay, look at that. How long do you think that guy for Washington's been playing in the NFL or been doing this? The alien would probably tell you 10 years. And you would tell him it's been 10 days. Like, it's been 10 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, in that level of maturity from Jaden Daniels, he was all smiles. His first touchdown pass goes to an offensive lineman. Then he throws a beautiful pass that gets cover zero, gets smacked in the mouth, and drops it right in on Terry McLaurin for the game sealer. I mean, he was masterful last night. He's a rookie, so there's stuff to improve, and stuff to improve in Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. But there's stuff to improve, like anticipation. For instance, he had a walk-in touchdown to Terry McLaurin earlier in the game, where Terry puts a move on the safety and the safety falls. And a 6-year vet lets that ball go and the move starts. And the reason why is, just looking at it, you can kind of tell, even if the safety doesn't fall, the safety's running one way, Terry's coming the other way. If you just let the ball go, the safety can't turn in time. It's a walk-in touchdown. Like a couple of throws, Josh Allen, who we'll speak about later, was hitting in the Jacksonville game off anticipation. Daniels had even easier throws that he just wasn't letting go due to lack of anticipation. So that's probably his biggest thing. And then he slid for the first time last night in his NFL career. But he also has the most first downs converted via the run in the NFL. He passed Lamar Jackson. Like, we're talking elite level. He was my pick for Rookie of the Year at the start of the year. He's going to continue to be my pick for Rookie of the Year as we progress forward. And I put a lot of stock into Caleb Williams, and I figured if it's close, it's going to go to Caleb. I thought the Bears would win 9-10 games, and then if Caleb Williams puts up solid stats, they're going to give it to Caleb Williams. But he's been playing poo trash for a vast majority, and we'll get into Caleb a little later as well. But right now, Jaden Daniels, the clear-cut Rookie of the Year. He looks like the best rookie in the class. I argue that New England should have done more to go get him from Washington. I'm not thinking Ricky Williams level where you trade a draft, but I would have offered 3 ones on draft night and probably a 2. 3 ones, a 2, and a future 5th, and just dared Washington tell me no with 3 first-round picks. You know what I'm saying? 2 seconds and a 5th. Like, and just be like, just tell, like, you're going to have to tell me no. And ultimately, you could just look at it. New York poked around, but they didn't really move. And then reportedly, New England made an offer, but it was one of those feeler offers. And the Commanders came back so strongly against that New England basically backed off and was cool sitting at 3 and picking Drake May. But last night exemplified why I was so high on Jaden Daniels. He outdueled Joe Burrow, who Burrow played a pretty good game himself, but he outdueled Joe Burrow in the battle of the LSU Heisman quarterback winners. The Bengals fall to a crushing 0-3. Their season's in massive jeopardy right now. And like I said, Jaden Daniels was just magnificent all night. It was beautiful to watch him play the position. Joe Burrow had a couple of great moments on the other side, hitting Chase, leading his team down when he had to pretty much every time. And so masterclass from both quarterbacks. But Joe Burrow he's been to the Super Bowl. He's been an All-Pro. He's been a Pro Bowler. Jaden Daniels has been starting NFL quarterback for 3 games. And so kudos to Jaden Daniels. I mean, absolutely great performance. Speaking of a great performance, Josh Allen, MVP. Can we start the campaign? Can we start the voting? Can I place the bet? Is he the favorite? I mean, right now, Josh Allen has to be favored for the MVP. Look, you went into this season, many people thinking Patrick Mahomes. You add Xavier Worthy. You give him a Hollywood Brown, so you get that top off the defense. Travis Kelce still there. You're thinking, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back, and you're thinking Rashee Rice, and that defense is going to win a lot of games. And you're just naturally thinking, okay, Patrick's due for an MVP. It was like at a certain point, Peyton Manning. Like every 2 to 3 years, you were looking like, okay, Peyton's due for an MVP. And it just felt like Patrick was due. I didn't think Lamar was going to go back-to-back. That's pretty hard to do. My pick actually was C.J. Stroud, was who I thought was going to win the MVP. I thought it'd be year two. You know, you add a Stephon Diggs, you add this run game, you get him another year in the system, you get him to where he is a confident, really, really confident player. I thought it'd be C.J. Stroud, but it is Josh Allen. He absolutely wrecked the Jacksonville Jaguars. What he did to the Jaguars could have been called criminal. Like, it was downright, I'm better than you. I'm really better than you. I'm really, really better than you. He was throwing passes with perfect accuracy, beautiful anticipation. He ran when he had to. He got his team into the best plays almost every time. He ended that game at halftime. It was 30-something three or 28-3 at halftime, some of that nature, because of him. He went ballistic in that first half, and Buffalo is not a place you want to go down with the crowd roaring. If you're going to beat a Buffalo, you want to beat Buffalo. Keep it. If you're going to beat a man on the road, you're going to do what Arizona did. Get out on them. Because and Arizona didn't even finish it, but if that momentum gets rolling in Orchard Park, you're in for a long night. And that's what happened in Jacksonville. The momentum got rolling with Buffalo. Josh Allen couldn't miss. And it became a long, long night for the Jacksonville Jaguars faithful, as the Bills ultimately ended up winning 47-10. And honestly, it felt like a bigger lead than that. But Josh Allen was playing out of his mind, and he's definitely right now has to be the front runner for MVP. The Baltimore Ravens pick up a win they desperately needed. If they would have lost the game to the Cowboys, you could have packed up the season and potentially John Harbaugh's Ravens coaching career. But they win in Baltimore Ravens fashion, and they win with the run game. Derrick Henry goes for $150 or $130, somewhere in there. And they win in the run game. This is the first game where I saw a commitment to doing what Henry does. It may not have been the pure outside zone play where he's, you know, jogging to the left, trying to find a hole that he turns it up in the gap. It may not have been that, but it was a lot more zone style blocking. And he definitely looked a lot more comfortable behind it. Now, the Dallas Cowboys did just finish getting torched by Alvin Kamara and the New Orleans Saints. So maybe Dallas isn't that good, but Baltimore definitely looked like they needed that game, and they went into that game desperate. And so they came out of it. Battling Dallas Cowboys, they've got one of the tougher schedules left. They went in that game with the mindset of, we're going to have to physically beat the Cowboys. It's not going to be a game we win cutesy. It's not going to be a game we win with aerial assaults. We're going to have to physically run through the Dallas Cowboys. And that's exactly what they did. Henry ran over them. Henry ran through them. They met stiff arms. They did all kind of stuff in an effort to destroy the Dallas defense. Again, another one of those demoralizing games. It was like you saw you saw with the Jaguars three series in, they were looking like, oh my God, what freak of nature is playing quarterback for the Buffalo Bills? It's pretty much how the Cowboys look. They looked like, what is happening to us? I mean, it was 21, the Ravens had 21 points in, I think, the first quarter or early first half. And they show this shot of Michael Parsons, and he's just like, he's nervous smiling. He's smiling like, what's happening? And you see the rest of the Cowboys defense in shell shock. Like, what is going on? Like, there's nothing we can do. They're throwing around us. They're running through us. What is happening? Like, that's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not supposed to happen to you repeatedly. You're not supposed to just get beat down. repeatedly, especially physically, the way the Cowboys did, and they could do nothing about it. The first series, the Ravens ran right at Micah Parsons, and then the second series, they ran away from Micah Parsons, and then they started macing it in there on thereafter. It was a display to see how the Ravens came out, how physical they were, and Dallas' reaction almost was like, we didn't sign up for this. So that is something I think Dallas to reevaluate is their position chart. I don't think, and it's irrelevant now, unfortunately, but, or not really, but Micah Parsons is not a 4-3 defensive end. Let's just get it out there. He's not. He is an outside linebacker. He is a middle linebacker blitzer. He is a 3-4 edge. He is not a 4-3 defensive end. So they need to figure out a way to utilize Micah Parsons a little bit more in more advantageous positions. Jumping to the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints came down to earth a little bit. So we're talking about how majestic their offense was and 45.5 points a game and all these yards and how this entire offensive movement led by Clint Kubiak and Derek Carr has led to like zero murders in the streets of New Orleans. Like, it was a lot occurring regarding the offense and the team in New Orleans. And then the Eagles snuffed it, basically. New Orleans finished with fewer points than they had all season. They were 40-40. I believe in that game they were like 12. And it was just a physical game from Philly. Neither offense wanted to be successful. Philly's offense nor the Saints offense. The Philly offense made one more play. Philly offense has made one more play, and that play in particular with the Saquon Barkley touchdown. The long one. Not the one you came down the drive with and so on and so forth, but like the long sprint to the end zone, that's an entirely different game if Saquon doesn't get that. And so that's, you know, the Saints ultimately came like they crashed down to earth. Even 15 points, the first 2 weeks would have probably won a game by 30, but it did not do that. Actually lost the game by 3. Said, you know, messed with my Jax pack, but we'll talk about that later. But the New Orleans Saints come down to earth a little bit, but I do believe they will ultimately bounce back against the Falcons, but we'll talk about that later. All right. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a quick little conversation. Bryce Young sucks. Okay. All right. We've got the hard part out. He sucks really bad. Okay. Got it back. Bryce Young is not good at football. All right. Okay. We got it out. Because Andy Dalton, his replacement, shows up. 314 yards, 3 touchdowns, no pick. 319 yards, I'm sorry. 3 touchdowns, no picks. Looks like he's commanding the offense. No one's really worried. They blow out the Las Vegas Raiders. And the only person that was switched out was Bryce Young. That's telling to me. Where you couldn't do anything on offense, and now the only person with 300 pass yards and 3 touchdowns in the same game in the league, all they did was take your spot. That's telling. If I am the Carolina Panthers, because I'm not in the position in Carolina. I don't really get free agents, so I have to nail my quarterback pick and hope I can build around it, a la Cam Newton, a la Jake DeLone. I'm trying to nail quarterback on the Panthers and build around it. Unfortunately, Bryce Young is not that builder. Bryce Young is not that talented quarterback position, as Andy Dalton to me just showed. And so I think it's time for Carolina to keep their eye on the college season. All right, and a couple of quick hitters. Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings are 3-0. Brian Flores is doing things defensively that is criminal. I'm not gonna lie to you, it's wrong. It's messed up. He's showing one look, and then the second look's completely out of it. He's shifting and moving and doing all that kind of stuff. Sam Darnold is actually playing really, really well. His rating is pretty high. Like I say, he has improved to 3-0 as a starter. Caleb Williams lost to Anthony Richardson, and Caleb Williams continued to look awful. Somehow as bad as Anthony Richardson, which considering how both of their plans kind of overlap, it makes sense. But Sam Darnold, after all, it is 3-0. And then lastly, the Los Angeles Rams stunned the San Francisco 49ers in what felt like at certain points as a 49er home game. The Rams absolutely stunned them. And there's an iconic picture going around of McVay like rubbing Shanahan's head through a hat. It's just all around bad for the Niners. They had a ton of injury news, including CMC going to see a specialist in Germany. It was all around bad. It wasn't great for the Niners, not gonna lie to you. But I am about to shift to NFL Week 4. Welcome back into the show, and now we're going to talk about NFL Week 4, starting off with our preview of Thursday Night Football. Again, something we can rarely do because usually we record on a Friday night or on a weekend. Thursday Night Football we've already played. However, being a recording Tuesday night, this show come out Wednesday, we could talk about Thursday Night Football, Cowboys at Giants. This is going to be an impact. Excuse me. It's going to be an impactful game in the NFC East and the NFL as a whole. So the Giants got a surprising win last week. They actually undercut a little bit my Jack's pack. I had them losing by at least 6 points last week, or at least 5.5 points last week, to the Cleveland Browns. I'll never bet on the Cleveland Browns again. I never bet for them anyway. And now they host the Cowboys. So if you look at the standings, both of these teams are 1-2. Now it's early. It's early. Washington and Philly are both 2-1, but both of these teams are both 1-2, and division games just mean more. They weigh more, which is why the NFL wanted to put as many division games on Thursday night as possible, because it would limit teams as this player's nicked, we're going to sit them if it's a division game. And it's a little bit different than a conference game in college football, but division games, winning your division still nets you an automatic playoff berth. So they put as many of these division games on Thursday night as they possibly could. But anyway, you have the Cowboys heading to New York on a Thursday night, coming off a pretty crushing back-to-back weeks at home, hosting the Saints, getting blown out, and then hosting the Ravens, getting run through. Although they made a hell of a storm at the end, it was, to me, a signature Dak Prescott empty calorie kind of situation. And they absolutely charged at the end, made it unnecessarily close, but they ended up losing by 3 anyway. And now they head on the road at a Giants team who just went on the road and put up a number on Cleveland. Malik Nabers had a great night. And now you're coming in as 6-point favorites if you're the Cowboys into a team you should be able to beat comfortably. However, I think the Giants win. I think the Giants win. Now, I'm not betting this game. I'm not saying it with any confidence, but I think the Giants win this game. And I think they do it with a lot of Malik Nabers. A lot of running the ball, a lot of short passes. Daniel Jones can't be that accurate down the field that many times in a row. It's not going to happen, right? So in order for the Giants to win this game, you're going to have to get the ball to your playmakers early, your playmakers often, and then play really good defense. And that's why I think is the turning point for the Cowboys. I don't think they have a good offense. Their running back room is awful. It is god awful in that running back room. I'm pretty sure it's CeeDee Lamb and a bunch of nobody. I mean, I won't disrespect Brandon Cooks in that manner, but it's not a whole lot in the receiving room outside of CeeDee Lamb. Now, Brandon Cooks is a consistent 1,000-yard receiver. His problem is that he keeps getting concussed. But again, outside of CeeDee Lamb, it is a bunch of wish he could have been betters. The defense? I can't name a safety or a linebacker on the team or a defense tackle on the team. They have solid ends with Michael Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, and they could play, of course, they could jump everything at corner. This roster is not very good. And you know, it's only going to get more expensive and get less talented. You know, Jerry Jones was asked about whether he could have, you know, why wasn't Derrick Henry a Cowboy? He responded with that he couldn't afford Derrick Henry. At the time, he easily could have. In the future, probably not so much, considering Dak Prescott's contract extension, CeeDee Lamb contract extension, and other things they have going on in Dallas. You know, I just think the Giants win this game very, very closely. It may come down to a field goal, but I just think the Giants ultimately pull this game out. Vikings at Pack. Will not pick it because it is in my Jacks pack. But this is a very interesting game between two, at the moment, redemption stories. Now, we're not sure if Jordan Love is going to be available to play. If he isn't, if he is not, again, it will give kind of long stories. But at the moment, it's Sam Darnold versus Malik Willis, two quarterbacks thrown away by the Arizona franchise. They say this is Sam Darnold's, what, third franchise? Or fourth, actually, because Darnold was a Jet, then he was a Panther, then he was a Niner, now he is a Viking. So this is his fourth franchise. And again, Malik Willis was tossed away by the Tennessee Titans. So at the moment, this is a battle of redeeming quarterbacks with two smart head coaches, with two solid to great number one receivers, and two defenses that both teams believe in. So this would be a very interesting game to keep our eye on. Speaking of interesting game to keep our eye on, the Bengals and the Panthers. Now, this is a game between one team desperately looking to try and figure something out and another team desperate to get a win. The Bengals have to win. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're 0-3. You play Carolina. I don't care if it's in Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. I don't care that it's on the road. I don't care that, you know, Andy Dalton is only QB in the league with 300 passing yards, excuse me, and three touchdowns in the same game. I don't care about any of that. The Bengals have to win. Your margin for error is officially zero because you're 0-3. You now have to win every game that comes your way. Again, this game is also in Jack's pack, so I will not pick it, but you have to win this game. For Carolina, this is an opportunity for Andy Dalton to show you that, number one, he's real, and number two, if they were to win, they're 2-2 and right in the thick of it in the NFC South and can go win the division. So that is something to keep your eye on with Bengals and Panthers. The Jaguars, another desperate team, goes on the road at the Houston Texans, who just got smacked by the Minnesota Vikings. This game is not in Jack's pack, so I can't pick a winner here. The Jaguars, again, going to go on the road. They've lost a lot lately. Trevor Lawrence has not been good. And so now you play a team that was embarrassed last week by Minnesota Vikings, with a defensive head coach, DeMeco Ryans, that is going to want to cause havoc with his defense. And admittedly, a PO'd offensive staff that thought that they could have been better, you know, in their loss. And so now you're dealing with that in Houston. And so in Jacksonville, you're scrambling for anything. You've lost a lot of games in a row, and you're just trying to get your feet under you. But I ultimately think that the Texans are just too good for the Jags right now. They're just better. And when you run into a situation where the team is just better than you, it's hard to overcome it. It's hard to make that, you know, really work because they're just better than you. And at a certain point, schematic go out the window, and they're just better than you. The Washington Commanders at the Arizona Cardinals. Again, a game I would not pick due to it is in Jack's pack. However, this is a battle of, number one, two quarterbacks I like in Jaden Daniels and Kyler Murray. Number two, these are two teams potentially heading in opposite directions. The Washington Commanders is looking to step up. The Arizona Cardinals is looking to step down. This is the battle of two quarterbacks with very similar styles. Kyler Murray does it in a 5'9" frame. Jaden Daniels goes at least 6 feet. But both are and were incredibly skinny during their time. And so if I'm the Washington Commanders, I get Jaden Daniels on some sort of food power thing. So, but Kyler Murray, however, he's a baseball player, so he's naturally a little, how do I put this, thicker than a guy who was, you know, not in that style. He's just a naturally, again, thicker individual that he could play. He's a little stockier. That's what I'm looking for. He's a little stockier of an individual having come from that baseball background. And lastly, but certainly not least, Bills at Ravens. A game for the Ravens that is another desperate one. The Ravens has one of, if not the hardest schedule in the league from here on out. And so they've got to get the wins they can get. Now, I'm not saying that the Bills are just a win. You just mark in the calendar. But if I'm the Ravens, this one's circled. You got to win this game. You've already lost. And for no other reason than you got to establish yourselves with the powers that be, because you lost to the Chiefs. You know, you lost to the Raiders. You scooped the Cowboys. Big whoop. You've got to go in, if you're Baltimore, to this game and try and establish a different line of scrimmage and to play Baltimore Ravens football. As opposed to the Bills, you've got the MVP front runner right now. And Josh Allen is in his throwing bag. I mean, I obviously have not received all the passes, but I defy, I dare. As a matter of fact, I double dog dare anybody to show me a better throw at any level within the next 48 hours. I mean, Josh Allen was just doing things with a football that shouldn't be done. It kind of reminded me of Jaden Daniels' Hail Mary. Like, that should not be possible. Allen was just flipping it, and it was perfect. And, you know, that is something that Baltimore's going to have to contend with. They should feel great. They should feel, okay, we got our feet under us. We about to, you know, really get rolling here. And then you run into the Buffalo Bills. So there's going to be a battle to see who wants it more, who is just more mentally tough, who can sit in the trenches the longest. But up next, we are shifting to our NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack. Welcome back into the show. And now, my growing favorite part of the show, the NFL betting segment, Jack's Pack. Now, we're getting these numbers early in the week. A lot of the injury reports hadn't set. So keep in mind that if you wait to place these bets on Friday or Saturday, the number may have moved. The side may be different. We're doing these bets prior to a lot of the injury news coming out. So again, if you choose to use these numbers, I would do them prior to the brain moment. I do them now. I wouldn't wait till the end of the week, because if the number changes, you don't get this number. If a different injury happens, the number moves. Like, you know, you could lose your value. So I'd place this number today, place the bet today if it was, if you were able to place it today. But last week, we had our worst week so far. Again, it's only three. We went 2-3 last week. We were really, really close to going 3-2. New Orleans is kind of the game I'm looking at like, man, we had it. But we went 2-3, which brings our total to 9-6-0, which is 60%, which is above the 57% that we were going for. But let's move that percentage back up to a space that we are comfortable with. And we're going to pick out five games against the spread. Like I said, we're 9-6 so far this season. Our number one game is the Buffalo Bills +2.5 at the Ravens. Take the Bills. Why are the Bills not favored here? Has Vegas been watching a different Ravens team? I mean, before they picked the Cowboys, people were wondering if Derrick Henry was washed. Like, this is not the same team in Baltimore that it has been. I've got the Bills here pretty comfortably, but definitely plus 2.5. Saints plus 1.5 at the Falcons. Why is the Saints not favored? You know what I'm saying? Like, this kind of same question I have Buffalo. Why not is the Saints favorite? It's going to be a rivalry game. It's going to have a college feel. A lot of Saints fans are going to travel. And so this is going to be a very interesting environmental game. And then these teams are very, very close rivals. I've got the Saints winning the game outright. So I don't understand why they were the underdog. Vikings plus 2.5 at Packers. Again, see previously, why are they the underdog? The Vikings have the better quarterback. The Vikings have the better coach. The Vikings have the better defensive coach. The Vikings have the better defense. The Vikings have the better number one receiver. The Vikings are a better football team. Like, let's just be real. And I don't understand why they are the underdog. To me, those first three numbers feel like stealing money. If those numbers were reversed, I probably wouldn't touch any of them. But because they are what they are, jump all over those three for sure. Bengals minus 4.5 at Panthers. Take the Bengals. Look, this is a lot of belief in what the Bengals have going on. This is trying to, I don't know, will them to do what they're supposed to do, which is take care of the Panthers pretty easily. I don't care if Andy Dalton's playing well or not. He just doesn't have talent around him, especially this week. And so I definitely would take the Bengals minus 4.5 at the Panthers. And lastly, but certainly not least, the Washington Commanders plus 3 at Arizona. I'm joining the Jaden Daniels hype train officially. I may end up driving it a little bit, but I think that they beat Arizona outright. But if they don't, it'll be by buzzer beater field goal. I don't think they lose by more than 3. Even a Kyler, when he's absolutely running around and giving your defense fits, is not the same effect as it was in college. As far as the mental effect on the other team, like, you chase the guy down for 17 seconds and he pops up and he has like 15 yards and then he slides. Oh my God, that is such a brutal thing to do to a defense, especially the collegiate level. But I think that ultimately Jaden Daniels doesn't win this game. But like I said, very strongly outright against the Arizona Cardinals. So, again, our numbers is Bills plus 2.5 over the Ravens, Saints plus 1.5 over the Falcons, Vikings plus 2.5 over the Packers, Bengals minus 4.5 over the Panthers, and Commanders plus 1 over Arizona. Now, as always, we're going to shift now into the WNBA playoffs. Welcome back into the show. And now we're going to discuss the WNBA playoffs. They're happening right now. They're happening as we speak. The Las Vegas Aces are actually currently playing. The Las Vegas Aces are currently playing the Seattle Storm, with the Aces trying to end the Storm season by completing the sweep, because we're coming off the back of the New York Liberty completing the sweep of the Atlanta Dream. So congratulations to the Liberty. They're moving on to the semifinal round. Vegas is trying to complete their sweep of the Seattle Storm as we speak. And then, of course, you have the Lynx. They are up over... Oh, man, I'm having a brain cramp. My sincerest apologies to the WNBA. I'm having a total brain cramp in regards to playoff bracket. And so, the Minnesota Lynx are having 1-0 lead over the Phoenix Mercury. And the Connecticut Sun have a 1-0 lead over the Indiana Fever. I predicted all higher seeds would win. I think I gave Diana Taurasi and Phoenix Mercury a game, and I gave Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever a game. The other two series I predicted as sweeps. This is a situation where I love this spot for new fans because it allows you to see the star power and to see the talent that these young ladies display, especially when it comes to playoffs. Because I spoke about this, a couple weeks ago, like I said, when I talked about Vegas going to be fine because they're literally waiting on the playoffs. Like, when you've won back-to-back titles, you're waiting on the playoffs. Like, the playoffs is boring to you because you know you're going to make them. You know you're going to be a relatively high seed. So the playoffs, so the regular season is not really a thing for the elite level of the WNBA. They'll get through it. They'll play hard for the most part, you know, especially when they get in the Heisman races or stuff like that. But it is something that the WNBA has to be excited for, is if they get to showcase all of their new fans, the WNBA playoff basketball, which is a different level of intensity than the regular season. But a couple of quick hitters. There was an interesting rhetoric on First Take regarding Caitlin Clark and Asia Wilson. Like, it was one of those conversations. So it used to be Caitlin and Angel. Now the Angel's kind of fallen off the wayside a little bit, cracked her hand, kind of disappeared from the limelight. It is now transitioned to Caitlin and Angel and Asia. Asia's won unanimous MVP. Caitlin Clark won unanimous Rookie of the Year. Kudos to both of them. They're not in the same class. Asia Wilson is the best player on the planet that is a female, and I don't even know nor care who's second. Caitlin Clark is somewhere in the late teens. But they're talking about how, you know, Caitlin helped the women out so much, and that the old women are the older ladies of vets are hating and all this other stuff. And it's just like, nah, it was just a lot was handed to her early, and she's earned a lot of it too. But she was handed a lot of privilege and a lot of ref privilege and a lot of, you know, undying support that I believe she's earned. But at the same time, the vets have a case to say that she didn't, in terms of she didn't earn the ref support. She didn't earn, you know, being able to yell at the ref, stuff like that. Like, she has to earn that kind of stuff by being in the league a while. And a lot of the current players would state that she has not done that. And so that's where you get a lot of the issues arising in. But, you know, let's not bring up Asia Wilson's name when it comes to this. She's an entire different stratosphere. She is truly A1. She is truly one of one. She's not anywhere in the vicinity of anybody in the WNBA, especially Caitlin Clark. And lastly, the Los Angeles Sparks and the head coach Kurt Miller, have mutually agreed to part ways after two seasons, and Kurt Miller's record being, I believe, 25-55. They have agreed to mutually part ways. But up next, we're going to have our best for last, which is going to be our college football 2-minute drill. Welcome back into the show, and welcome in to a new segment for Best for Last. It's going to be our college football 2-minute drill, where we kind of hit for 2 minutes our just a little college football, talk about some big games, big moments, and what happened over last weekend and what's going to go down this weekend. The clock starts now. All right, so in last week, of course, we had Colorado with the big win over Baylor. Now, this game was huge. This game had everything. It had drama. It had official problems. It had a Hail Mary by Shedeur Sanders to tie it. Then they get in overtime. They get it first, and they score it. And then you get Travis Hunter, who else, forcing a fumble on the 1-yard line from a pretty good back in Baylor. It goes for a touchback. Colorado wins. They actually preemptively storm the field in Boulder. They storm it, and they end up ultimately storming it technically early because the decision wasn't made yet, but ultimately they end up ruling that the call stood. That may have come from the fact of they didn't want to clear the field, but they ultimately ruled that the call stood and that Colorado was the victor in that game, moving them to 3-1. Huge, huge game this weekend. Georgia versus Alabama. Georgia at Bama. Georgia at Bama. 2-4. This is the kind of stuff that the SEC dreamed of whenever they did conference realignment and they removed the old divisions. This kind of game of Georgia at Alabama. This is Kirby Smart, Carson Beck, and Georgia at Kalen DeBoer, Jalen Miller on Alabama. A true road game for Georgia in Tuscaloosa, in Bryant Denny Stadium, on Nick Saban Field. This is going to be a monumental clash. The only thing that would have made it better for me is if Nick Saban was still coaching it. If Nick Saban was still at Alabama, huge, huge game. I've got Georgia winning the game, but I've got Georgia winning the game close. It's going to come down to a field goal late. And our next big thing, conference realignment, is back and live and well. The Pac-12 is absolutely poaching right now. They are going through. They are taking apart the Mountain West Conference. They've reached out to the American Athletic Conference, although most of the American Athletic Conference has held. But they have officially welcomed Utah State back into the conference tonight. Whew. And that, my friends, is time. We hit the buzzer right on time for 2 minutes of college football talk. We will dive into more college football probably on the YouTube show, so definitely take a look at that. But that is all I have for you guys today. This is a fun show, good 45-minute show. Thank you guys for rocking out with me. Again, this is your host, Justin Jackson. Follow us on social media at JTime Sports on all of your favorite social medias for your breaking news, your updates, and your coverages around the sporting world for all your favorite teams and leagues. And don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the Justin Time Sports Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. But as always, this is your host, Justin Jackson, signing out.